First, I would like to ask everybody to stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Carol, will you call roll, please?
President Graves?
Here.
Vice President Dawson?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Here.
Okay. First of all, I want to welcome you all to this special meeting of the Board of Directors this morning. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to attend our meeting here this morning. We have some primary goals here that we want to achieve this morning, and the goal really of this meeting is to discuss the future of Discovery Bay. What we should accomplish, what we can accomplish, and what we will accomplish as a community. I hope you are all prepared to check your history books and your egos at the door. The purpose of this workshop is to look forward and define goals to be accomplished in the near and distant future. Let us not get caught up in the distracting and petty transgressions of the past, perceived or real. Let's leave those for the Contra Costa Times. I guess sensationalism sells newspapers. This meeting will be a little different format. We will suspend the standing policies of the board this morning. The board will not need to speak through the chair, and the audience will not need to speak to the chair. We will continue in this matter until I feel that the board is no longer in control of its meeting. I believe that staff has some more details about the format of this morning, and I will turn it over to staff at this point.
Thank you, President Graves. This morning's workshop is more of a planning session, an opportunity for the board, for staff, and for the community to weigh in on those things that are important to Discovery Bay. I'm going to ask some questions as we go through the process. I'm going to want some input from not only the board but from staff and the public. Just put your thinking caps on. There won't be any tests. They're not difficult questions. They're more going to be in line of just planning the future, where we want to see Discovery Bay be. And one of the things that I've been thinking about the past couple days is when we were all little kids, we all decided that we were going to grow up and be something. We don't know what that something was, but we were going to grow up, and we had these goals. And when we moved to Discovery Bay a number of years ago, or however long you've been here, perceptions change and realities change and things change. And so we have an opportunity today to really kind of take a look, a little bit of a look back, but more importantly, a look forward as to what's going to drive us and guide us. This is more of a strategic planning session, a look forward definitely into the next year for sure. This will be the first component of the budget for next year, with the capital component of the budget, that is, but also taking a little bit further forward and what projects and what does the board want. What are your priorities and responsibilities? It's my responsibility to make sure that the staff is on the same page that you're on. If you're tugging in one direction and we're tugging in another, then that's not the proper way to be going. So we want to avoid any conflict like that. So with that, those are just my opening comments. And Mr. Graves, President Graves.
Yes, I think we'll turn that off. We'll move forward with public comment at this time. This is a little questionable because we don't really have a set agenda on items, but if somebody feels a burning need, a burning desire to get up and talk about something at this particular point, they're more than welcome to do so. Okay, thank you very much. There is one action item that we need to take care of today. There is a meeting of the Delta Stewardship Council, which is on the 25th of January. That would be Tuesday in Stockton. And I would like the board to direct me to go and represent the needs, concerns, and interests of Discovery Bay in that meeting.
Do we need a moment?
motion and a first and a second on that?
Yes, you do.
Somebody want to make a motion? Or that is a motion, I guess. I can make a motion. Can't I?
You can. It's more appropriate.
Okay. Would somebody like to initiate that motion for me?
I initiate the motion to attend that. For you to attend that.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion by the board? Discussion by the public? Okay, not hearing any. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, board. I think that I'll be able to bring back some real good information from that. Okay, Rick, where are we at this point then?
The first item that I wanted to talk about is the board meeting schedule. Not just it appears that the meeting schedule, the first and third Wednesdays, is a good schedule. What I wanted to get from the board's perspective is, I know we've discussed anecdotally in the past about the difficulty at times of the board and staff as well when the meetings are every 2 weeks, that it is at times desirable for the board, for the elected body, to maybe take a break in that process at some point in time. And a lot of public agencies do that either the second meeting in July or the first meeting in August, so it gives the board an opportunity to kind of take a break, hit their vacation schedules, as well as for staff to do that same sort of thing. And just wanted to get your input and feedback on that, if you have any comments, desires, goals.
Director Tetra.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on that. Historically, there's two times that we typically take a break, which fits in more because of a holiday schedule. So usually the second meeting in November, which is Thanksgiving, is a time that a lot of times we like to take that time off. And then again, the second week in December. So those are logical because they fall around the holidays. As far as the other times, there's, you know, nothing historically around that. That's my input for that.
Input from any of the other directors? Then I would echo what Ray's saying there. And the only thing I think about in that is that, man, none of us schedule our vacations together because these guys like me a lot, but they don't want to go on vacation with me. So that was very presumptuous on my part. Roger that.
Let me write that down.
Remember that. Keep
I've
it.
Seen you wrong.
So I agree with Director Tetra. I think if we're going to be at a time when it's inherently slow and people have other things on their mind and other goals and objectives with regards to shopping and getting ready for family occasions and that would probably be the time that we want to do that. Everybody, any discussion from the public on that item? Are we going to continue in this format? Are we? Yeah, that's what I thought. Here I am falling back into my old habits.
It's going to change real soon.
No,
first and third.
So thank you.
Okay.
And again,
it was just something,
if we're talking about something, I'm not going to do. I'm going to allow the board to speak first because I think that'd be proper. But if you have a comment, just raise your hand, and if I don't see you, somebody will throw something at me, and we'll go in that order and try to loosen things up a little bit here.
I'd like to add one further thing is that historically, as those times come along, if there is something that is pressing and we need to meet, then we do. I mean, we just work at it. But, you know, historically, if there's not pressing things, that it's a time that is a good logical time to take that off.
And likewise, I think there was one or two times in the past. I'm not sure since Rick's come on board, but I know when Virgil was on board, I know when you were president, that if there wasn't anything pressing to occur at that particular meeting, we've actually canceled meetings because there just was no action items unless district invoices need to be voted on because of a timely bill pay or something along those lines. So I think we just move ahead in that manner. That'd be great.
Okay. With respect, one last comment. With respect to special meetings, workshops, things like that, they'll just come up as they come up and kind of like today's did. I expect that we will probably be having one or two more before the end of this fiscal year, and we'll get into them a little bit later in the discussion, but those will probably center more around the master plans that are coming forward. So
probably budget
depending
also.
On the well and the budget, yeah,
yeah,
as part of that as well.
Okay, what's next?
Lights.
Camera.
Well, what I wanted to do is kind of take a look back, look at what we've accomplished over the past year and what we're working on currently. So what we've done is, if I can get this little guy to work, oh, wrong button. Hang on, I'm sorry. There we go. How come it's not working?
Is there a football game on today?
No. Okay, good.
Is this technology wonderful?
Hmm? That's going to call my wife to keep it.
Technology.
Good deal on that?
I think ESPN's channel 112. 182.
Hey, it's live TV, folks.
I think so.
You know, just some overview pictures here, Discovery Bay. This picture isn't really the greatest picture in the world, but it kind of shows the front entrance with the holiday lights out there. That's a nice addition to the community. It was interesting that when Director Steele was first elected to the board, he called me and said, hey, we're going to get some Christmas lights out there in the front entrance. And I said, well, Chris, you can be the hero because you're going up tomorrow. So that was just good timing on his part. On the water side of the house, Virgil's going to get up here. He's going to talk about what's going on the water side of the house. And this is our new treatment plant. So, Virg, if you want to go ahead and hit those items.
Yeah.
So we can get this thing to work for you.
As you all know, that we have to do periodic maintenance here and there of different things. If you have a flavor tour, no, go back to the plant there.
Wow.
It's been a fast year.
What is this like?
There we go. Out here are two filters. These two white long things are filters for, this is the Newport Water Treatment Plant. These are two storage tanks, your booster building and a backwash tank. We have a well on site here, and then we have a well down here at 5. We pump the raw water into here, treat both well 5 and 4 in through these filters stored in here, and then these go out to the street. We rehab the filter where we replace the filter media last year, a year or so ago. Next year, at the end of this year, winter, we'll take a look at this one here and see if it needs to be replaced. Right now, it doesn't look like it will be. We're kind of waiting to see our water master plan as to what may come up. One of the preliminary things that kind of shocked me this week in talking with the engineers is we may have to drill another well out in this area, somewhere out here. But that's probably going to be depicted on X amount of growth that you add on to the facilities. Most of our growth has been growing at this end of the town, and hence, or we may have to add more storage tanks to this site, I don't know. But that's what it's happening right now in that regard.
Oops, the other way. What's the age of that? When was that project
installed? The whole plant was actually well 4 was there prior to the water treatment site going in. Well 4 was installed right around 95. And then the what we're doing right now, well number 4, is this is a depiction of well number 6 that's right here. We had, and it's a submersible pump, so you have column pipe that is 10 inches in diameter. And each piece of, and it's, they're 20-foot pieces. Today we are working on well number 4 at the plant I just showed you back, where we're rehabbing that well, meaning we took the whole well out, we put a video camera down in there, as well as a temperature gauge. We're looking for anything that's got an eighth of to a quarter degree change in temperature in that water, because if that does change, there may be a hole in the casing that water's coming in and influencing the water that we pump out and put through the filters.
Through a separate aquifer? Or
it could be. It could be. Could it just ate a hole through the casing?
It could be just water table leaking in.
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
So that went fine, and then you put the video camera down to looking for any objects or anything that you may see taking place, and then primarily down at the bottom are screens that allow the water from the aquifer that you're tapped into to come in, and they plug up sometimes with calcium or buildup, and so some of the screens were plugged up, so we had to put in an acid type of a thing, and like using a Q-tip in your ear per se, but a huge Q-tip to go down in this 16-inch barrel to go in there and scrub it so it breaks off the buildup, and then clean that all up. And now next week we'll be putting that well back together, and then in about another week put it in back in service. But this is the time of the year you would do those type of preventive maintenance, which probably gets done roughly about every 10 years or so that you would do that.
How deep are those wells?
This particular well is around 400 feet deep. Yeah. Okay. This particular well we're showing you here is well number 6 that we completed here, and we just turned her online a little over a week ago, and now we stopped it because now we're replacing the filters that are right out front here, the filter medias. And so these filters have to be online in order for this well to run.
So 3 big white tanks right behind me, right?
Only 2.
2 white tanks behind
me. The other one is relatively is new, and it's a lot newer, and so the filter media does not need to be replaced in that. This is just showing the test.
Arrow down, that one to the bottom one.
Okay. This is just showing the well number 6 again. And when you first start up a well, it's got a discharge for about a good minute. There's a little device right up here called the clay valve, very expensive device, and it regulates. It's set up on a timer, so when the water starts coming here, and just about close to 60 seconds, this valve starts to slowly close down, which then forces the water into this piping here and to go into the filters. And this is a group that we hired out to replace the filter media. Normally, this big inspection hatch is where you would go through to remove and put in new filter media. This is about a 10 by 12 inch opening. And it's interesting that this company had a hard time getting the bolts off of here because they're all painted. And they had a guy thin enough to go through here. Through this opening here, which is really called an inspection hatch. So he crawled in there and had to go in there and take out about a good 2 feet or more of existing filter media. Then they had to put in 48,000 pounds of new media on the floor here, two different types of media, and we laid it out, opened the bags inside, then they have to spread it out inside that containment. If you remember, this week, they did that all this past week, the sun started to come out. And so in here started to develop a lot of heat, so they can only work in there for so long, and then they had to bail out, take a little rest, and then come back in again. This little device is a kind of like a suction. It's sucked out and then stored it and then dumped it into this little dump trailer. This is a view of the wastewater treatment plant, plant number 2. This is a maintenance building where Veolia and staff's at. This is an oxidation ditch here. These are clarifiers. This is the greenhouse for your biosolids. These are the 2 sludge legumes, aerobic digester, and ultraviolet right here system. This year alone, we put in a brand new UV system here. We took out the old, put a new one in. We put a bypass, meaning that clear water from these clarifiers come to a pump station right here. They also from plant number 1 across the highway come to here as well, and they merge together. From here, we needed the capability that if the water did not meet a certain quality, we needed to reroute the water back to here. So we put a pipeline in that comes into the little berm here and allows us to discharge into here. At the same time, this is a road that divides these 2 lagoons. These 2 lagoons are about 6.5 million gallons each. We modified this little driveway here where we cut a little dip into it. So if this got too high, it would overflow here and spill into this. Even though we have interconnecting piping, but it wasn't designed for the UV bypass that we did. So what we did do is just lower this road, just a little section here, put a little contour in so it could do that.
Virgil, approximately how much do you think we have spent on capital improvements on Plant 2 this year? Between the bypass and the new UV?
The UV cost was spread over a year and a half, 2 years, 2 different physical years. But you're probably close to $1 million, $750,000.
Okay.
UV equipment is not, I mean, it's quite expensive, and then the installation, and then the bypass was an added thing that we wanted to do. Anyway, if in the future, if we were to add any clarifiers, these two spots right here would be where we had marked out they would be. If we had to build a new oxidation ditch, we would construct that right here. The original plans we have is to put three oxidation ditches in. We laid this out, so it'll hold three. Put another one here, put a group of clarifiers here, and then put another oxidation ditch right there. And if we were to expand the greenhouses, the biosolids, we'd look at it doing it right here on this. Our property line ends pretty much right about here on the east side, but it goes down a lot further down here if you need to expand further down that way.
Total acreage to the south is how much?
70. Well, it's, the total thing is 70 acres altogether.
Okay. Yeah. And is it typically, because I notice over at plant one, it's typically two clarifiers per ox ditch?
Two clarifiers, yes, two clarifiers per ox ditch.
Okay.
That's correct.
You also added your vac truck dump area.
Yeah,
was that this year?
That's done, and that's right here.
Okay. How much did that cost?
That one there was about $35,000-$40,000. It was very inexpensive, typically because of the way we designed it and the way we worked it. Yeah.
Right.
And this is the headworks where the raw sewage comes in, and this is where at the headworks is where you try to capture anything that's big. Anything like if somebody's putting down a lot of carrots or small little Tonka trucks or matchbox cars or rubber balls or whatever, you'd be surprised when we catch in there. And the things that float, though, get picked up with our vac truck at the lift stations, and they get dumped into here. And so this last thing, I can't remember where we vac trucked lately, but we found a lot of small golf balls. It might have been Cherry Hills. And so in here where it dries out, we saw a bunch of little golf balls, but they're worn.
Oh.
The ripples are all missing.
Oh,
a
I was
lot
gonna say,
missing.
I was going to ask if you had any, because I go through a few, but no,
okay. You don't want those ones.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Might be restricted flight, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, Virgil, let me engineer this pond. Do you know if it's in a 100-year floodplain or a 200-year or a 500-year floodplain?
No, it is not. It's actually, this is sitting below sea level. This has got, most of this area all around here was all one-time farmland. And it's deeper this way in peat soil, and as you move towards the west, it's less. In this area here, I'd probably say it's about 3 feet or 4 feet of peat soil. Out this way, it's a little different. This change in color and soil here is as people build swimming pools, we ask for them to, swimming pool builders, to drop off their dirt here, their clay soil. And the reason for that is that when you build a structure, you can't build it on peat soil. Peat soil is organic and it breaks down. So if you build on it, your structure is going to keep sinking. And so you have to remove the peat soil. We didn't want to have to pay to bring in clay soil to build that. So we build it up here. So our next time we have to build, we have clay soil, quite a bit of it on site. That once you remove the peat, you bring the clay soil on, you pack it to whatever the engineer's recommendation is in the way of compaction, then you start to build your structure on that. But this sits below sea level, and you're probably about a good, I'd say, depending on the structure, you're about 4 to 6 feet below sea level.
But I will say that the Rec 800 levees are all built to the 100-year floodplain. So
you could.
Right, they're all protected by primary levees,
that's
so
right.
Really, it's not that doesn't really become the issue.
Yeah,
the tide will take care of that.
You could, if this was the flood, your homes could not
flood.
I mean, not flood, but more likely some of your homes would be flooded, and so they would be what's that word where you could that they won't let you in the house.
Uninhabitable.
Uninhabitable.
Red tag.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions about wastewater? Sorry, I didn't see any hands up here.
Anything?
Gerald.
Who?
Gerald.
Me. Hey, Gerald. How you doing, man?
Good. The question I had, the third lagoon that's sitting on over to the right there, is there any plans in the near future to develop that for additional storage or capacity?
Not as it stands right now, only if it's needed. It was carved out because we needed the clay soil to build, and that's the reason why it got carved out.
You know what? There was a big faux pas here this morning that both Rick and I made, and that is we should probably introduce the staff that's here today to everybody that may or may not know them, and also any of the employees that are contracted so you guys know who's talking and for where these questions come from. Farron's here as our landscape manager. You may or may not know Farron. Carol McCool is one of our administrative assistants here. You know what? You do the introductions, Rick. I'll say something wrong.
Carol is one of our administrative assistants. She's takes our minutes for our board and does and hangs out here every Wednesday, every other Wednesday night. Virgil, obviously. Gerald Smart, project manager at Veolia Water. Liz Hardy is back there in the back with her hand up, and she's our finance guru. And Calista Anderson is our person of all knowledge. And she's the one, if you want to know what's going on, you talk to her. So.
Sure, fire away.
I didn't catch the first part of this, but I'm assuming there's some informality here.
Yes.
Okay. The reason I brought that up is because there's a lot of sludge already there in the two lagoons. We're now using one of the lagoons as a place to put stored water, as you said, the bypass. So now they're kind of doing a double purpose.
Yeah.
And as you grow and to clean up what's there, we're going to have to produce more sludge, run it through faster. I think your master plan also talks about a 12 to 16 MCRT, which is the amount of time that bugs reside in the system, which is a shorter period than we're currently operating, which means you're moving the solids through the system faster. So if you've got a lot of sludge and you've got a limited capacity to begin with and you're shortening up the time that you're going to move it through, it just seems like extra capacity might be of a benefit. That's why we're doing that.
Okay. Well, I'll have to wait to see what the master plan and what it outlines, because if it does outline that in the master plan, then we'll take a look at fixing that up to make it compliable, you know, with to put sludge in there.
Well, I think just the fact that we put that bypass pipe, which we never had before, and one incident that we have to shut down and bypass, you could fill that thing up, and then then it's going to take you quite a while to empty it back out because you're going to have to run it through along with our normal daily stuff. So I think that extra lagoon might make a lot of sense.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. And so anyway, that's plant number two. Any other questions related to that? This is the ultraviolet UV is terminology we use. This is the new UV system that we just put in and put online here recently. This is an existing system that we've had since 2000. We had another system in here that was antiquated. Discovery Bay started UV in 1997, and the primary reason for putting ultraviolet there was we had chlorine and another chemical that we used to treat the water before it left the plant. And some of the new laws that came into place that if a chemical plume ever developed, you have to develop an emergency system to call the residents. Sort of like the refineries in Martinez. If something happens, they have to notify all the residents in that area to stay indoors, that type of thing. It looked at that time to be quite expensive for us to put in and for the county to put in that we went into an ultraviolet, which is really the state of the art then. And it is very common to see ultraviolets, although many wastewater plants do not have this treatment process in their plants. They are slowly but surely migrating to them. So anyway, this is the new UV system that we just put in. This is a picture of the water going through there. This particular system, the blue little lines here, are hydraulic. When the older system that was to the other side here, when it needs to be cleaned, we have to put it in a tank and clean it. Here, these have self-wiping blades in the sense that it wipes the glass. The water moves through. These are the light bulbs, and you see the greenish color, the fluorescent light bulbs that are in there. And the water moves in this direction, going around the light bulbs. As they go through the light bulb's intensity, depending on the intensity of that light, sort of like a dimmer switch, the dimmer switch either tells it to turn it on brighter or less. And the dimmer and the switch is, that controls it's down here. It's a sensor, and this allows you for what we call dosing or treatment. It's a terminology you'll hear us. Dosing is, are we dosing at 100%, 120%, or are we dosing at 60% and whatever? Generally, you'll find most of the bacteria that we have in our plant, dosing at 60% will kill the majority of it. There are a few of them that the viruses that does not kill at 60. This is a what we did this year as part of our capital improvements was to replace a sewer main, primarily at our new at the older sections of Discovery Bay. We have clay pipe, which are 4 to 5 foot diameter pieces. And over a period of time, the clay pipe at one time was a gravity flow pretty straight. And over a period of time with land displacement, I'll call it, or little earthquakes, they tend to have a small little valleys, dips in the pipe, let's put it this way. If it has a dip in the pipe, it is a good chance that water will sit in that belly of a pipe, the wastewater, and we Americans love to eat a lot with grease, and that grease builds up there, and it starts to build a ring around the pipe. It sticks to the clay pipe. It builds a ring, and pretty soon it just grows to solid, which then means the wastewater can't move through that pipe, which then means that that water will start backing up, and it's called the sewage overflow. We don't want to have those. We clean the pipes. Once every 4 years, we go through and we take 25%. Discovery Bay has about 48, 49 miles of sewer mains. And so this particular section here, we put a video camera down inside the pipe. Notice that we did have some bellies where the water was settling in the pipe, so we elected to replace it with what we call HDPE pipe, which is 20-foot sections that we welded or fused together. And so it's one long piece, and it was about 450-some-odd feet. This is the front of it with a little, it's hard to see with this picture, but it's got a little pointed nose through the shape of a bullet. This long cable right here, runs right down here, would run in through the existing pipe, and as it moved through there, this little bullet-shaped item has got some blades on it, some little knife thing sticking up, and as it's moving through there, it is slicing the existing clay pipe, and it is pulling this pipe into it, inside the existing clay pipe. So then what you have to do is, so what you have to do is wherever the homes, laterals come into there, you have to open the piece of the street up and do the tie-in to the existing there. So you pull this in, You open the holes in all the homes wherever there's a lateral first. Dig that up. Make sure that you find the lateral first because you don't want to have it overflowing inside the house either. So then we pull this in right through there. And so we plan to be doing a little bit of this every year going forward and as needed.
Excuse me. Do you have a cost per foot?
It varies. It varies, and the reason it varies because of how deep we have to go. In this particular section, I believe the pipe was about 13, 14 feet deep that we had to go through, and so it takes a little longer to dig down, and then obviously there's shoring that needs to be taking place. So it varies. This is the first time we were using this technology where it's called trenchless, and so you don't open a whole trench, the whole street all the way down. You just put two holes, one here and one at the other end, and you pull this pipe through there, splitting the existing pipe in.
How do you identify that you need to do this?
When we put our cameras down, our video cameras, we put them inside the clay pipe. We run that video camera up there. The video camera head runs underwater, goes underwater. We know we have a problem.
Is that like every 4 years that we're doing that?
No. We've been starting to do that, started last year. We've been picking about a mile or two that we do every year.
So we've been 48 miles, so we have 48 years left? Or?
Well, each item has a year's life to it, a certain amount of years. And generally, it should have 40 to 60 years of life on these.
Plus the older, the newer systems, the newer parts in town are relatively newer, and so they wouldn't have those types, same types of problems.
This is at the UV bypass we talked about a little earlier. This is some of the equipment that we have to bring in place. We have to put some bypass pumps. Sewage is still coming into the plant. We have to find a way to move it and get rid of it. And so these pumps we had to put in place and run for a few days in a row and bypass the flow to one of the sludge lagoons that we talked about. This is the concrete vault that they brought this crane in to lower this in. This is a 7 foot deep by 7 foot wide and I think 20 feet. Very heavy concrete structure. And this is some of the piping that we had to put in place for that bypass to take place. These are the two molds that we put in that's part of our biosolids. This is the technology that we bought over from Germany to handle our biosolids. So this is a TIC and track the names of these two moles. This is a recent thing that we just did this week. This is some of the sewer manholes that primarily closer to the sewer plant and primarily where it takes sewage to take such a long time to get to the sewer plant. The longer the sewage sits in the pipes, it starts to break down and develop sulfites, which the gases from the sulfites start to eat away at concrete. So this is what happens. This is a manhole that was very smooth concrete-wise, but the sulfites started to eat away at this. So this gentleman here is cleaning this and getting all the loose stuff off. Then what they did is we sprayed it with about an inch and a half of concrete, and then this white liner is a epoxy liner that's put around that so the sulfites won't eat through this going forward. These ladders, a lot of sewer manholes, they put these ladder rungs in so it allows you to go in the hole, but you would never trust this, stepping on one of these at all. Today, OSHA makes you remove these today and cannot use those any longer. All right, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Virgil.
I just wanted to provide an opportunity for the public, especially the board's aware of a lot of what's been going on, but for the public that hasn't been here in the past, to be able to see what's taken place in last year. The UV bypass was huge. The well was the new well was a big deal. The UV, the bypass, the manhole replacement, the Discovery Point. And as we move forward, as the town continues to age, we're going to have some issues that we're going to need to address in the future. The next thing I wanted to be able to do was to provide, this is just an aerial shot of Cornell Park, and this is a pretty good shot of Discovery, of all of Discovery Bay, and Farron's going to talk in a minute about the different zones when we get through this and point out where all the different landscape zones and where the money comes from that help fund her projects. And Farron, if you want to go ahead and talk real briefly about some of these or just want me to rifle through them, this is just some of the landscape that we've done out at the front of the community at the main entrance. You can see the irrigation issues we've had over Cornell Park. It holds a lot of water, low water table. Consequently, the water doesn't drain very well, and it kills the trees and after a period of time. And you can see on the right that her and her teams have gone through and improved that significantly. Again, more over Cornell landscape enhancements. If any of you have been out there recently, it looks really, really nice. We demoed the playground on the, I guess it would be the southeast side of the park, or the south side of the park, and Farron's going to be bringing in some design options for you this afternoon or this morning to talk about what the new play equipment and structures might look like out there. There are signs notifying the community that there is new play equipment coming, so that'll be some board discussion this morning. The ball field renovation that you know about is taking place out there. This is the Discovery Bay Boulevard Landscape Project from Sandpoint to Seal Way. They started a couple weeks ago with some removals, and they started digging for some of the irrigation controllers this past week.
Darren, the ice plant, I got asked this, did it freeze or is it diseased?
No, they sprayed it. They're killing it off. Yeah, their hope is that if they let it die out long enough that it'll lose some weight and it'll be cheaper for them to dump, to remove it. So.
High water content plant, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, they spray that to kill it, and that's why it's looking the way it is. On the east side of Discovery Bay Boulevard, coming into town, on the right-hand side of the road, that was a nice little project that Farron and her team worked on over the summer. This is right out front here, Willow Lake. In fact, this is the same contractor that did this job, is also doing the landscape job on Discovery Bay Boulevard. Mulch, Farron's going to discuss a little bit about the mulch. It prolongs the life of the plants that are in there, plus it provides a nice aesthetic value as well. These are some of the Midway Islands. The one on the left is down Bixler, right there at Highway 4, and the one on the right is over at Discovery Point towards the end. There are some Midway Islands back in there that were looking pretty ratty, and they turned out very nice. If any of you haven't been out there, please go out and take a look at them. The splash pad started construction this week. They started the grading. They're out there, not right now, today, but they were out there yesterday and for the next for the foreseeable future. And so that's going to be a nice addition for Ravenswood Park as summer approaches. This is the over by Newport. Some of the picture on the left is what it looked like before. The landscaping was all gone. It just was, frankly, just not there. It died off and was gone, and the right shows what it looks like afterwards. And Farron, I believe that was an in-house project, wasn't it?
A lot of it was
in-house, right? Yes.
Did you guys get involved with the fence line on down Discovery Boulevard and this fence line here? Is that the property owner association responsibility, or is that our responsibility?
Well, the country club.
I noticed a lot of the bricks are missing, or they've decided to change the design.
The fences in the walls, we were talking about this yesterday. Farron and I were discussing this yesterday with respect to the wall down Clipper, for example, on the south side of Clipper. It's in dire need of a facelift, if you will, and those are, I believe, all homeowner associations.
Each individual homeowner owns that. For example, that house right there, that's single level, owns that section of sound wall right there. Their responsibility to maintain it.
Brilliant.
So is there anything that can be done to help them maintain it or to let, because they probably never even see it.
It's again public money on a private property.
We talked, Farron and I were discussing this yesterday with respect to Clipper, and it's a good question, Don. Is on Clipper, that's a project that I think is in the proposed year two. Budget to do some landscape out there, and if we can do some landscaping out there and work with the homeowners association and say, hey, we're going to do this beautification project, let's make your let's do a joint project together, a nice public private partnership, we can do something like that, and we can maybe get some better pricing than they can and work it through us. So there are definitely our alternatives and options.
That particular area there does not have an HOA, whereas the one on Willow Lake and Discovery Bay Boulevard on the golf course HOA owns that, maintains that. That's why they have painted that and maintained it, where this part that's by Discovery Bay Boulevard that's running from Sandpoint to Seal is owned by another HOA, and that wall should probably be maintained as well if that HOA has the funding to be able to maintain that.
Yeah, I just saw that all the bricks had been removed. Was a design element in Discovery based plan, and I've noticed that when I go down Highway 4, they've taken all the bricks off the top edge, and then now intermittently along Discovery Boulevard and Clipper, the people have started taking those off, and that's a design element that it may or may not be important, but it looks like it's inconsistent, and it looks, when it's not maintained, it looks pretty ratty.
All of Highway 4, with the exception of the golf course side, but anything when you go up to Highway 4, westbound, that's all owned by the individual homeowners again, all the way down through the end of Centex. Same scenario, all those sound walls are owned by the individual homeowners.
We can make it look nice by, well, let me rephrase that. We can camouflage it a little bit with landscaping. But when we go to do those projects, that's something we would definitely work with the with the community on, so we can try and get some participation from them. The homeowner associations make it a lot easier because they've got something to gain out of it.
What about DBPOA? They're the homeowners association for a lot of the homes. Aren't they have any responsibility here?
As far as I know, no. You know, there's not. I don't believe the
DBPOA
is Discovery Bay Property Owners Association right now. The Discovery Bay Property Owners Association really ends right where Spinnaker is.
Yeah.
The rest of that joint, Clipper and all that, where you have your sound wall, there's no HOA on that at all. Or even on Newport Drive, there's no HOAs here at all.
Do we have to write letters to the HOAs and get more involved with them if we choose to support?
The only one is sure. One here on Cypress Landing.
The commercial is saying that most of this is an HOA.
It is not.
It's not.
Anyway.
Right.
It's just the one on Discovery Bay Boulevard. From the standpoint where Farron just talked about, she's going to redo
and that. And there's no mechanism for enforcement, is that correct?
You don't really have any way to make them do it.
County code enforcement would be one mechanism for them if it got to be completely in complete disrepair. But I'm not sure that would be high on their hit list right now, if you will.
We have, just an FYI, we standardize on a color of paint to paint the walls. So anything where we can do, we'll paint our walls that, but we started, if we were to ask these couple of hundred homeowners to paint their fences, we might get different shades of color.
That was my other concern.
Yeah.
Right. Did they could say, yeah, fine, I'll paint my fence. Watch this.
Right.
And why can't the CSD paint it?
It's our public money going against on private property.
It's not
we probably have some citizens that would get an uproar.
Now, here's the other aspect of it. Take a little further. If we were to, say, paint that, patch up, you know, on some of these walls, the stucco is flaking, needs to be scraped, and probably a new thin layer needs to be applied. Well, then you've already started to maintain that. So now if that wall was to fall apart, they said, well, you maintain that, so you should fix that. I mean, you could wind up in that situation. It's a possibility.
It's probably, again, an issue going forward. I think this board's responsibility, as I dare to break into a workshop format.
This is a perfect opportunity to do. This is what it's for.
I think that this is kind of what we're trying. What I think from the conversations that we've had as a board here in the last few meetings and trying to put together going forward is a board that is big on informing the public of what the issues are, informing the public of what the challenges are, and encouraging the public to work with us to try to resolve some of these things. And that's kind of why we're here today in this kind of open forum situation. So it's a matter of education. Virgil touched on the fact that we have some infrastructure that's falling down. Hey, that's not going to be fixed under the current ratepayers program. We just don't have it in the budget. It may, over the next several years, be issues that have to do with rate increases. But if you don't educate the public with regards to why we need it, what needs to be done, and the effect that will occur if we ignore it, then we don't get the cooperation that we need from the public. So it's a matter of education. We really want to engage the public, educate the public, and get the public support to make sure that Discovery Bay, you know, does continue to be the place that people want to live.
You know, as you were just stating that, there are opportunities sometimes through the county that have some block grant opportunities that might qualify for some of those types of projects.
Funds, you say?
Yeah, community development block grant funds. They can sometimes be used when it's a sound wall, for example. And since these are sound walls, and if they need to be maintained, you need to make that nexus that the sound wall is being maintained, and that if you don't maintain it and do some maintenance to it, then it's degrading the quality of the walls. So you might be able to get some funds to come back in and repair the walls, and you end up with a double benefit, if you will.
I think that you may also end up in the same problem we just talked about. You try to bring the county in, the county's going to look at that just like we did, and they're going to say, once we maintain it,
sorry,
once we paint it, we own it. And I think that's our problem. We can't afford to pay. For us to hire a crew to go out and patch all that wall.
Oh, no.
And we can't afford it. And the county's going to say, this is going to cost us 100 and something grand to do this.
Unless it's under the guise of a grant, one-time grant, then they're not determining what the status of the wall is going to be. They're just saying, hey, here's some money. Fix what you need to fix.
Yeah, but who fixes it?
And, we use the money and we fix it as a one-time process, too. We don't set a precedent with it. We didn't pay for it. It wasn't our fund. Or we contracted or whatever.
Before we get too far down that pipe, let me take a look at that and see what if there is anything there. There might not be. There is a benefit of a sound wall, and so it might qualify, and if it's a maintenance and with the requirements with respect to that.
Okay.
So what I wanted to do
obviously
here...
a problem, though.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do with the first part here with this PowerPoint was to just point out some of the things that have been going on in the community over the past year or so, and those manhole rehabs were taking place last week, and the filter media that we passed around the black gold, so to speak, that was done just last week. And so, you know, it's important for us to be able to recognize the accomplishments that we've made as we move on, and I think that I think that the community benefits from hearing that and seeing it and saying, oh, wow, yeah, you're right. I didn't realize that we had done this, and I didn't see that had taken place. So with that, I'm going to move on a little bit and move on to the meat and potatoes of what we're here for. These are some issues, and this is not a complete list, that are facing us. And from the board's perspective, and from staff's perspective and the public's perspective, some of these things we can get involved in, some of these things we can only have ancillary involvement in, and there are things we just really might not be able to get involved in at all. The fire department funding is an issue. The wastewater and water master plans, those two subjects are going to be driving our budget for the next few years, I would suspect. We are going to be receiving first drafts of those probably over the next 30 days, wouldn't you say, Virgil?
Bits and pieces.
They're coming in parts, in components. So the first water component came in a couple weeks ago, and the first wastewater one, I believe, is due in this coming week.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Substantial reports, I believe we approved close to $300,000 for both reports to be completed. Is that correct? Was there a time deadline put on this? Because it seems like it's going way past what I expected.
Yeah, we figured 6 to 8 months.
And where are we currently?
We're probably right around 6 months.
6 months. They were approved in June.
We have a meeting on it Tuesday.
Yeah.
I understand, but only for portions of it.
Portions of it.
Yeah. No. The thing is, I have in front of me a SCADA piece that I just got the day before yesterday, a draft piece, and so we're looking at that, and this is just...
So the first portion is evaluation, and then now they're at the point of where they're actually putting the information together into a report. Is that correct? Questions asked, questions answered.
Correct.
RFPs, all that stuff. RFIs, I mean, and all that stuff.
There were two pictures. I knew there was something else I wanted to add to it, to the PowerPoint, where this past week, for example, the water folks doing the water master plan were out Thursday, Virgil, doing the water pressure tests. And so they were doing water pressure tests at the four corners of town, if you will, up at the school, down by the golf course.
Okay.
So those are taking place. The water one, I was told by John Fawcett that they should be done by, we should be having a final report from them by March. That's appropriate.
Isn't that great? John Fawcett's our water guy. I think that's awesome.
It's leaky.
That's his assistant.
That's the wastewater guy.
That is unusual.
Ba 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 boo. Okay.
You got a question?
I'm glad to see Jerry Adensa on the program. Are you going to be talking about that a little bit today?
We would love to have anybody that has a lot of information about that absolutely step up and speak in this open forum format. Mike, so if you know anybody, ask them to step up and speak to that. We love information on it, and we are engaged in that, yes.
Let me get through the list here, and we'll stop there for you, Mike. How's that? The state is continually reviewing and revising their regional water quality for discharge. regulations and for water quality regulations as it relates to our wastewater discharge. I understand that with the new administration in place that I'm hearing some rumblings that we might have some increased regulations in that area. Don't know what they are. I just put it out there as a placeholder to know that that could be an issue moving forward. Same thing with water quality. I think that the chromium 6 issue may visit. However, we recently, just within the last month, tested all of our water, and it came back for chromium 6, and it came back with no, and what was it, Virgil?
Non-detect.
Non-detect. So our water quality, drinking water, with respect to chromium 6, came back. The results were very, very good, if you will. I don't want to use the word positive or negative in a way that could be misinterpreted, but that there was a non-detect. And
I can't stand it, Rick. What does WC stand for?
Water quality.
C stands for quality?
Oh, sorry.
I thought maybe Walnut Creek was infringing upon our...
Yeah, sorry.
I'm sorry.
I did this late. I was working on this late the other night.
I know. I am.
Thank you.
I kept interrupting in the middle of it, remember?
Thank you.
Sorry.
And if you remember, chromium 6 is what drove the Aaron Brockovich case. So just so you know, and the public knows, that we don't have any of that in our water. New development projects, as they come forward, we've got, you know, there's a number of projects that are sitting on the outskirts of the horizon, ready to, I think, see the light of day at some point. We've got Newport Point. We've got Pantages. We've got the Hoffman's interested in doing something over here by the shopping center, and I know they've got their 13 homes over off of Marina Road that they want to finish up over there. And beyond that, you've got the area to our immediately to our east, which is much further down
for
the road.
But yeah, but for clarification, that's been pulled off the master plan. The Chikini project has been pulled out of county. And it's no longer a viable project. They'll have to start from scratch now at this point if they tend to go back.
So that's going
to
be
I just wanted to mention because it's a contentious issue, and it's a substantial change to discover. 3,000 homes? Was that what
they were? Started at 6, they went down
to
3. More
so just so we don't get dragged into that, that's gone off the books. It's there's no use discussing at this point because they've pulled their complete project out of county.
They went broke, I think.
It was Private Island Homes, and they did... I don't know if they're gone completely or not, Virgil.
No,
they're just not working in this area at this point.
So I just wanted to bring the fact that, you know, we're going to have new development coming in here probably in the next couple of years. You know, if some of those were to pull permits within the next year, we're going to start seeing homes built soon, which we're in the next couple of years, definitely within our five-year horizon. The community center is obviously an issue to be discussed this morning. And there's some buzz going on about that, kind of behind the scenes. The increased cost of doing business, just the increased cost of, the cost of doing business is up there. Tag that on to the fact that you have a sluggish revenue stream, it makes things difficult. It's kind of like balancing your own personal budgets at home. Some of our infrastructure is beginning to age a little bit, as Virgil pointed out. Out there on Discovery Point, that was a fairly extensive and expensive rehab for, 400 feet? It was about how much, $150,000?
Just over $150,000.
For 400 feet. That's you can do the math, that gets up there. Egeria Densa, we don't have any authority over the Egeria issue, but... Just so you know, we did present to the board back in, I believe it was July, a report of what was going on. The board did write a letter to the Department of Boating Waterways, which I think resulted in the supervisor, PIFO's office, becoming involved in holding a summit of some sort, if you will, and along with Rec 800, I know Rec 800 is monitoring it, and I was at their meeting the week before last, and it was on their agenda, and they're just waiting for the water Department of Boating Waterways to come into town, and they're going to be spraying in April the sonar. I don't know what I think that's just the shelf name for it.
What's the name of the chemical?
Yeah, the shelf name is Sonar. I don't know what the chemical name is.
The
$400 a pint.
$400 a pint. Yeah, it's expensive.
But and that's the intent. My understanding is that that's all waiting on approval of the California budget.
Yeah, I talked to Iris from field rep for Assemblywoman Buchanan last week. There's still no budget for Department of Boating and Waterways, and they are expecting a cut to that budget, which was, I think, $5 million last year. And, you know, they look at this project as being $2 to $3 million. So we're all waiting on that budget process to come to
And that money gets divided statewide, not just locally.
They have given us commitment to do something about the problem, but we haven't been able to nail them down to exactly what do something is. And so they keep telling us we're waiting for the budget to come, we got to see how much funds we have. And the problem, like you said, is that budget goes for the whole state of California.
Yeah, this is definitely the largest community on the Delta that's like this, that has as many homes and that back up to the water. And the Department of Boating and Waterways' position has been that we'll clear out the arterials, you know, the main lanes, but we're going to keep the side streets, so to speak. We're not going to worry about those. We want to keep boat traffic moving. Well, if you can't get the boats out, how can you get boat traffic going?
Well, this... Go ahead.
So those are just some of the main
issues. Well, we're going to talk about in depth a little bit more in the future in this morning, correct?
We can, yes.
Okay.
There just isn't a lot that we can do other than continue to lobby. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
There is no real plan.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Rec 800, there is some plan. There is a plan being developed. It's an aquatic weed abatement plan for the bays. And I talked to Rec 800, and they are working with some scientists and some people at the state level to put this plan together to address the issue. And I understand that plan is going to be out in the next month. But it does. There is some dates for some spraying or some direct. Eradication of that, but the plan's kind of like a master plan on how do you deal with the weeds in Discovery Bay, and so that'll be interesting to see there. I think that the challenge there is how do you fund that on a routine basis. It's not going to go away completely, but it may clear up for a year or two, and you know there is not really a clear jurisdiction other than the Department of Boating and Waterways right now is who we can go to. But I think the CSD needs to actively have an ear on what's going on and to continue lobbying for addressing that. If the bays freeze up here and my friends and all of us out here can't jump in the bay to go swimming or do our boating, why the heck do you want to live in Discovery, you know, Discovery Valley or Discovery Weeds, you know? I forget it.
The one thing we have to remember is that Adjuriadensa is affecting numerous states in the union, and it has never to date been eradicated.
And it never will be.
And Mike, do you have anything to add or with regards to what we're talking about? And if you do, you want to come up here to the mic so everybody can hear you, or at least speak loudly so everybody can hear you? This is Mike. If you don't know, Mike Gazzardo spearheaded the effort to stop the Two Gates project, but also has been involved in a lot of our waterways and deserves credit for being an advocate activist for Discovery Bay and a presence, and he's done a lot to help out our community. You have anything to add to that, Mike?
Thanks, Kevin. I guess it's on automatically. Okay. So I'm really glad you're addressing it. I think the biggest thing about the Adjuriadensa situation is that there's not a lot of communication coming out to the town. I have a lot of people calling me or emailing me and asking me what's going on with it, and there's a lot of different moving parts to it. I've talked to Lenora Clark,
yes,
at Boating and Waterways. I've talked to Jeff Conway. I've talked to some of you board members. I think we need to have one group in Discovery Bay, whether it's Rec 800, whether it's CSD, take the leading role on a management plan. And Brian and I were talking earlier, I mean, there's the biologic, which is the sonar, and the plan right now, just so you know, is starting April 1st, if the money is in the budget, to do harvesting first to bring the level down a little bit before they apply the biologic, because the biologic's really hard to apply in moving water. And if you have Adjuriadensa up to here and you apply the biologic, it's not going to work as well. Whoops, sorry. If you cut it down a little bit, and apply it then. So that's the plan from the state point of view. And we all know the state is having a problem with finances. So for me, it's great to get that help, but that's like getting $100 at Christmas that you weren't expecting. We need to develop a plan as a community to maintain the long-term vision on getting rid of this stuff. And so whether that's taking money out of the homes or in the Rec 800 assessments that go toward your property taxes, whatever that vehicle is, along with that management plan they're creating, but there's got to be a long-term vision on it, just like you guys have long-term vision on a lot of the other projects you're doing. I don't really see that happening. You'll see a lot of great people putting a lot of time separately and then getter once in a while, but we really need a lead agency to take it to that next level. So that's what I'd like to see, but I'm really glad you're talking about it today.
Well, Mike, could I ask you this? I know Brian has kind of taken the lead here a little bit within this group, within the CSD, through contacts that he's made on this. I was in meetings early on at Representative McNerney's office. Is it possible? I think what you're right. I think the information has to get out. I'm thinking back to how effective you guys were with the Two Gates Project when you developed your. I don't know if it was a nonprofit or not, but whatever your organization was, you were able to get the word out through that. I don't think that we can mobilize in that necessarily that way on this, but we have a website that should be effective in this type of things. Would it be possible to ask you and maybe Brian to get together in the next couple of weeks and maybe try to put together at least a comprehensive piece to get onto the website as an initial process for getting started with informing the public that we're working on it, generating some interest, and then maybe from there we can a core group will start to come together that can move in a solid direction with the CSD backing?
See what happens when you speak up. You elect yourself to do something. But, yeah, sure, I'd be happy to help.
Yeah.
Wow, you know what else is going to get up now, Mike. Got it.
Thank you.
I'm just asking. No's okay, but...
No, I'd be happy to.
I appreciate that, Mike. Thanks.
And just Ryan, so everybody...
I'm totally fine with that, but I think that this is something that maybe we can discuss when we discuss committees. This might be something we might want to look at having a committee, and if we could get something to where we had a committee with maybe a member of Rec 800 and maybe got Mary's office involved.
That would be great, but I'd sure love to get something on the website now, not wait.
No, I'm
okay.
Yeah,
because that we're only talking about getting together for a couple hours.
I don't know if he has something, but we do have somebody here from Rec 800.
Yeah.
See if you wanted to. You have anything to share, Bob?
I think what's been said is accurate, and Jeff is working with the county and voting waterways to get this plan together. I would add that plan is required to do the spraying. It's part of the permit process to use sonar, for voting waterways to be able to use sonar. The big issue is the budget, as everybody has stated here, and I agree with that, and I agree with Mike, that I felt for some time that somehow we need to bring the community together. And it took this last year for more people to recognize we really had a problem. Some of us have seen the problem for a while, because we happen to live where our properties were next to where Jerry Zenzel was the problem. Unfortunately, none of us, CSD nor the Reclamation District, has that responsibility nor has the budget to take off. So we do need to bring the community together to figure out how to fund a long-term plan. And I would add also that you're not going to get rid of it. It's like getting your lawn mowed. We have to come up with a plan that you have to think about it like that. It will always be there. We will have to have an ongoing, the community will need some sort of ongoing funding program. It will cost, it'll probably be fairly expensive at first to get it knocked down. Kind of like if you had weeds 10 feet tall in your yard and you wanted to plant grass, you finally get it down where you can mow it. We obviously are not going to leave it there and mow it. The mowing deal that we're talking about is not the solution. The long-term solution is a product similar to sonar. Where the lake, we did the lake this last year. It's kind of a learning process to see if it would really work, and it's been very, very effective. And we know it works there because we were able to shut the lake off, and it becomes a solid body of water that isn't moving. Our tidal water is a different situation, and we're not sure exactly what the cost would be. But I also encourage trying to let the community know and figuring out how we bring the community together to agree on what the process will be and how
Do you think Rec 800 is willing to be that point organization for it? I mean, I've talked to Jeff a lot about it, and gosh, he said, hey, Mike, 13 years ago when you weren't even here yet, he said, we had this problem, and we tried to do something then, but the homeowner said, oh, you can't put that biologic in the bay. My kid swims in there. And so we've been ignoring it as a community because of certain issues, and there's even a Chinese grass carp that could be extremely effective in handling it, but evidently Fish and Game says, no, that's not going to happen because they're worried about them getting out of control, even though there's agencies that say they can make sure they're sterile, and they guarantee it, and they'll die out after, let's say, 12 weeks or whatever their lifespan is. I say, you know, let's press government and say, really consider that, because if we use a multi-tiered approach for long-term management, that'd be a good thing. But my thing is, yeah, I'd love to be involved, but, you know, we can't, you know, Mike McCleary, Jan McCleary, Karen Mann, Mike Cazarta can't always be carrying the spear when it comes to water issues for the community. So who do we look to really go forward as a member of an organization that represents our town, I guess is my question.
I understand it. You know, I love that. I love your approach there with the multi. You done?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. But I think the information needs to get out to the public. I think the website's a great way to get it out there. Initially, let's get an article written that really makes sense, talks about all the different approaches we can take. We can start to develop some pressure, develop some interest. Other than the fact that, you know, now the water's cold, it's not, nobody cares, they're not taking their boats out, and you notice nobody's talking, well, fewer people are talking about it, I guess I should say. So but it's going to become a hot item again if it's not taken care of by May as promised because of budget restraints, and then we're going to have these same issues going on for another year. So let's get some information out there, and as the town moves forward, you know, a committee would be great. The CSD would support a steering committee, a pilot committee, to try to move things through and do it all-encompassing with getting REC 800 involved, to try to get the representatives of the Department of Boating and Waterways to be involved since she's local, and see if we can't move forward with a multi-tier attack on this thing.
No matter what approach you take, we've all watched this from the start. The organization that has been most relentless in attacking this has been Discovery Bay Yacht Club. No matter what else happens, and no matter what you do to go forward in this case, they need to be an integral part of it.
I think I know a few people there.
Exactly.
I could probably make that happen.
Discovery Bay Yacht Club, but the various yacht clubs in the area.
Right.
Yeah.
Their membership has more to lose than as a member. I couldn't get either of my boats out from behind my house all summer, so I sat and looked at them.
Right.
They have the manpower, they have the time to do it, and they have a lot of volunteers. Obviously, that's how you got started. So whatever we do or whatever we decide to get involved in should include Discovery Bay Yacht Club and any other yacht clubs that have been in.
Yeah, no, fully agree, and I really sincerely appreciate the time that I know you guys haven't been ignoring it. I just, you know, the comments I'm bringing up are kind of just thinking over the last few months of, gosh, there's so many people involved, but there doesn't appear to be a point. But it sounds like we're getting to that point today where there will be a point.
Well, I think that would be our goal. And then out of that, somebody besides Mike Cazarta might be identified as being a leader in this particular issue, because we know you have been a leader in other issues, and we applaud you for that. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, guys.
We do have on our website there's a PowerPoint link to our website that came out of the supervisor's office. There is a link to our website about it with some information for those of you who haven't been there and seen that. So, if that's okay, I'll move on. You know, we have a drop-dead date of 2025 for water meter installation in town to finish off the water meter installs. Before you know it, it's going to be 2020. It's already 2011. And we just need to start discussions on those as to a more strategic method of planning that at some point in the relatively near future. And I say relatively near, meaning the next year to 3 years, to at least have a plan in place. We need to resolve our CSD funding issues that have come up recently and in the past. And there are discussions going on with respect to that. And one of the things that I'm working on internally is an improved financial budget document, so that it's when we come back in the spring and we issue a budget effective July 1st, it'll actually be a document that will show where the money comes from, where it goes, that sort of thing. So those are just the things that I came up with, and I would love to hear from the board and or the public. Please, if I missed or if things should be on there or if things should be removed from that list, because these are the things, these are the types of things that I keep my eyes on as to what's going on. And a lot of those are very, you know, the aging infrastructure, you know, that's a much, you know, that's a Farron and a Virgil with respect to landscape, water, and sewer issues, and that's a much larger, that could be our largest single cost. But just want to know what you guys think in terms of what other things should be on there, should be off there.
I would add, very importantly to your list, your list is excellent, by the way. This is the first sitting elected CSD board that does not contain at least one original member of the CSD. Obviously, this is a new era. We've moved from one era to the next, and it not saying that the last era was bad or the next era is going to be good. The thinking will change, and the thing that I think that we need to look at now is transparency. We started leaning that way in the last couple of years, and it, as far as I'm concerned, it came to a dead halt. And I think we're at the point right now where we have a chance to start from scratch. I think we should have different budgets, a budget committee comprised of members of the board and the community. I think we should have a community center committee comprised of members of the board and members of the community. And I think that we should try and bring everybody together in the one room instead of feeling like we're doing everything in secrecy and giving the impression, even though we're not. I know for me, I think it would be great to be able to answer people's questions when they ask you something and say, we held this meeting, we have members of the community that sat in the meeting. And then people feel like you're telling them the truth. So I would really like to see that become a major
force. It'd be nice just to have meetings.
So so what you're saying is just to add the word transparent?
It should be a goal for this year that we now start to operate with
greater transparency.
Exactly. And to
sunshine.
Thank you very much.
Sunshine improvements.
Are those copies of the list? Are those copies of that list?
No.
Do we have copies of that list?
No, but I will make copies of that list.
Can we do that, like, right now?
I can do that right now. Can we take about a two-minute break?
I think it's time for a break anyway, and that way we can get that information in front of people's eyes and then respond to them better that way. Otherwise, unless you're going to leave that on the screen.
No, because I'm going to be moving on.
That's what I thought. Maybe it would be helpful to have the list. Let's take a five-minute break, seven-minute break, something like that, you guys.
I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Do I have your cigarette, Mark?
I will score. I know you're thinking.
It's ongoing.
hour study. I broke the glass. I knocked it off of Marshall.